Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Family, I had the amazing opportunity to spend a weekend with our students a few weeks ago at our retreat, and you might have saw a little clip with a bottle of water that ended up dumped out on someone's head. And so I thought about doing that this morning, but then I realized that that probably would not go over well with Nick, our facilities manager, who would not be happy with me if I spilled water all over the sound equipment, and then Jamie would be upset, and then you might never see me again. So I decided against that, but that was such an amazing weekend. You saw the video, and just the hearts of our young people here at church, here at PPC, students who are passionate for God. I'll tell you how passionate that they were. On Saturday night, I accidentally preached for an hour, and they were with me the whole entire time. The whole entire time. And so I came back, and I got back knowing this Sunday was coming, I gave Pastor Marie my sermon, and it was an hour sermon for this morning. So if you are not, if you don't have any plans, I want to talk to you for about 75 minutes this morning. I'm kidding. I'm not 75 minutes. So you know, preachers, we never talk long. We that's not what we do. I want to talk to you for a few moments, utilizing as a title, Watch the Perils of Freedom. We have been in 1 Corinthians for a while now. And as the Bible Project video explained to us a few moments ago, that Paul is writing to the church because the church had some issues, the church had some stuff, and Paul was he was the necessary corrector for the church. This morning, I'm going to focus on chapter 8, verse 1 to 13. And Paul is writing to the believers in Corinth. As we know, we've been in this book for a while. He's speaking to mature believers. And he says, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. Look at your neighbor and say, actually, you know what? Other neighbor. Look at your other neighbor and say, other neighbor. What's love got to do with it? Some of you are not convincing. Look at the first neighbor the first time and say, hey, I'm back. What's love got to do with it? You see, Paul is he's telling the church that knowledge is not it. All right, as young people say, that ain't it. It's not about having the knowledge. Some of you have more degrees than a thermometer. You have the knowledge. You are studied. You are studious. People, you know, you think, okay, I'm going to tell on myself. I had this grand plan about my life. When I was growing up, I was like, I'm going to go to Bible college. Then I'm going to go get my master's degree. Then I was going to go get my doctorate, because then people would have to call me doctor because I'm a doctor. And I realized something, that it is not about how much you know. You can know a lot, but as Paul is reminding us, it is actually about how much we love. He's telling the church, he's telling the believers that it's not only about knowledge. It's not only about what you know. It's not only about having that knowledge. See, a lot of the believers, they were having this issue that they thought that their conduct was based on what they knew. And because of what they knew, they had the freedom to act as they wish. But Paul is trying to tell them something different. It is not knowledge, but it is. Some of you got it. Let's try it. It was on this side, so I'm going to go over here. Paul is trying to tell them it is not knowledge, but it is love. 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 What the world needs now is love. Paul is telling them that our behavior as believers is supposed to be grounded in love. Oh, imagine how the church would look if we actually loved like we should be loving. Imagine how much more fun we would have in church if we actually loved people the way we should love people. Sometimes I think that the world at times does a better job of showing love than the church does. And as the church, we are supposed to be an example of love. And Paul here, he's reminding them, he's correcting them that listen, we have to love. See, the issue, especially in this passage, was about eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And that was a prohibited law given in the Old Testament. But the believers, they already understood that there is only one God. There is only one God. There is no other God. All the other idols, they were just man-made hand idols. Them things don't matter. And because of Jesus' death, because of Jesus' resurrection, they were no longer had to hold on to that Old Testament law. Jesus' death and resurrection called them into a new relationship. It called them into something that was different. But here, alas, is the problem, is that there were converts in the church who grew up in that pluralistic society. They saw all the different idols. They saw that there are so many different quote-unquote gods, and they were having a little bit of an issue. Because in those times, what would happen is that meat would be sacrificed to those idols and then given to be eaten. And it was causing some consternation. It was causing some issues because the new converts were not sure if they could eat that meat. They weren't sure if they should partake in that food. And those who were knowledgeable, those who were mature, those who had an understanding, they were holding it over them in a way. They were saying, just go ahead and do it. And it was causing some friction as these new believers were trying to live out their faith. And I, church, I must confess, knowledge isn't bad. Please don't, I'm as much as I make fun, I'm not saying that knowledge is bad. But Paul is saying something more important here. Knowledge can make a person arrogant. You know what knowledge does? It puffs up. It makes people seem more, a little bit more important than they really are. You ever met somebody who seems to feel like they're more important than they really are? I've met a couple of those people in my life, and I like to remind them, hey, you are dirt. Genesis, what did God create man from? I'm dirt. I am not better than anybody. Nobody is better than me, because in God's eyes, we are all the same. Knowledge can puff up, but love does something different. Love builds up. You see, when you puff something up, guess what happens when it bursts? Not only does it explode, but it scatters everywhere. But when something is built up, it has a firm foundation. It has strength. It can withstand. That is why Paul is trying to remind us that love is the importance. Paul is letting us know that there is a difference. One commentator, he writes this. He says, the Christian believer is not to be stressing his or her knowledge and superior reasoning because he or she can see a fact more clearly than others. The Christian believer is to love and to control his or her life by the principle of God's love. Here's the problem with knowledge, even though it is good. The problem with knowledge is that it can lead to pride. Pride. It can lead to pride. It can lead to conceit. And do you know what happens in a church when pride and conceit are present? You know, pride, it's that thing. Pride is a wicked thing. Pride is what caused the enemy to be kicked out of heaven. Pride is at the fall of mankind. I can imagine that there may be some world leaders who have a lot of pride. Pride, it does no good. Pride, it doesn't help anything. Pride cannot build up. Pride causes our downfall. Pride causes us to identify not with the King of Kings and our Savior Jesus Christ, but pride causes us to identify more with the enemy. And in a church, when pride and conceit are present, it no longer is about reaching the lost. It's about how do we look good? How do we look great? But when we are governed by love, when we are governed by a love that says, I accept you no matter what, yeah, you might have 100 tattoos. How did you get 100 tattoos? That's a different question. You might have 100 different piercings, but I'm still going to love you because guess what? I am dirt and you are dirt and I am no better than you. I just may have been walking with Jesus a little bit longer. It just allows me to know that I am loved, and because I am loved, I can love you as well. No matter your background, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter where you have walked, no matter what you have said, you are still loved. And because you are loved by God, I am going to love you. That is what a church that is built on love says. That is who we are. That is why we go to the arena, because we say we want everybody to come in. It doesn't matter what you smoked. It doesn't matter what you looked at, because God sent his son to die on a cross. And because of that, we are able to be welcomed into a family that loves no matter what. When a church is governed by love, we reflect the Savior, we reflect Jesus Christ, and we show the world that there is something greater than what the world can offer. It don't matter how much money you got in the bank, because if you saw the stock market this week, it don't matter how much money you had in the bank, it was gone anyway, because Jesus is not about your bank account. He's about your heart. He is after your heart. And that is why, church, we need to be a church that reflects the heart of Christ. But here's a warning that we see in Isaiah. Isaiah writes in chapter 5, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And Paul is sharing with the church, we need to operate with love. Love is what unites us to God. If we love God, we are known and accepted by God. It doesn't matter what we've done. God doesn't accept us because of what we know. We are accepted because we love God. And that translates into love for people. Paul is saying something very important. He's saying, watch the perils of your personal freedom. Because guess what? The best people are church people. Paul is saying that, listen, those of you who have matured in your faith, you have freedom to operate. You understand things. You have knowledge of things. But in your knowledge, don't let your love suffer. Tap your neighbor and say, wake up. Don't let your love suffer. And in that Corinthian church, there were still some immature believers. They didn't have all the knowledge. And guess what? They were likely to fall into sin. They were likely to defile their conscience. But in our freedom, in your freedom as a believer, we are not to be a stumbling block. Don't let our knowledge puff us up so much that we lead people astray and that we destroy the weak. You may be able to handle eating meat that had been previously sacrificed to a pagan god. You may be able to go into these places. You have that freedom that comes from a mature relationship with Christ. You have the ability to say, that's not going to bother me wherever that meat was sacrificed to, because I know that my God is the one true God. There ain't no other God like him. But some of these new converts, they didn't have that. Don't let your freedom be a stumbling block. Paul, he's not just talking to the Corinthians, he's also talking to us. What we shouldn't do with our freedom, the freedom that we have from our relationship with Christ, is cause someone else to stumble. Let me give you an example. You might be okay with wine, but if a new believer sees you, and maybe they've just come to Christ, and as you know, alcoholism is a pervasive thing in our society. There might be some people who come to Christ and they struggle with alcohol. They've struggled with it for many years. And maybe, you know, you're out and about. Maybe don't order the white wine, but maybe have Perrier. That's just showing your love for others, because guess what? You might be here in town, but you don't know who's here in town eating at Swiss Chalet as well. And we might think that's such a small, insignificant thing, but you don't know that how much people have struggled. And we don't know what people have walked through. And when they see a mature believer, they might just have an issue handling themselves. I'm not telling you that you are bound by other people's stuff. What I'm telling you is that sometimes we put our love for our brothers and sisters above our own freedoms. That's why his words are so strong in verse 11 and 12. I thought you guys were going to read verse 11 and 12 for me. I should have communicated that to you guys. Let's try this again, okay? Let me get my digital Bible. I'm a digital Bible person. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you have it with you, then you're ready to go. If not, I'm just going to read it for you. So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. Those are strong words from Paul, because one commentator, he says it best this way: there's no greater sin than to damage a person's conscience. Why? Because a wounded conscience makes a person feel useless and helpless. It destroys all drive and initiative, will and ambition. A wounded spirit causes a person to give up, to lie around and do nothing, and walk about defeated. And someone who has been wounded deeply enough, it can destroy a person. Do you know who Jesus died for? He died for all of us. He died for dirt. He died for the weak. And anyone who sins against a weak brother, they sin against Christ. Jesus lives in us. He doesn't put us on tiers because of our knowledge. So to cause a weaker believer any harm is to bring harm against Christ. You're trying to, like, Pastor Stefan, how could I possibly do that? Well, let me give you a little Bible. Don't worry, I got something for you. Remember this brother named Saul? He later turned into Paul, because on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with the Lord. And do you know the words that were used? Let me share with you. Acts chapter 9, for those of you who aren't here, make a note, read it when you get back to the crib, when you get back home. Acts chapter 9, verse 4, Paul, he falls to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In case you didn't know, that was a voice from on high talking to Saul. How was Saul persecuting Jesus? He was going after the weaker of the society, the Christians, the believers in Jesus. They didn't have this prominence. And Saul was going around, and Saul was persecuting them. So what are the perils to watch for? Love over knowledge. If we lord our knowledge over others, we aren't operating in love, and this can cause harm and disunity. We must always remember the condition to our faith. We don't do things out of knowledge, but out of love, because love builds unity in the body, and Satan hates a unified body of believers. He can't stand it, because love is everything he is not. The second one is this: use your license carefully. Sometimes what we do isn't sin, but it may be an impetuous for someone else to sin. Let us use our freedom with love. What we choose not to do is a reflection of the love that we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is what unity in the body looks like. It is a love that says, I can do this because I have the freedom to, but I will not do this because I love my brother or sister in faith enough to see that it might cause a stumble. Knowledge has a contempt for the weaker, but love considers the weaker. As a loving body of believers, let us apply these truths. Let us use our license carefully and consider the weaker believers among us. Amen? Amen. Before I go, I want to pray real quickly. Would you close your eyes and bow your head? Father God, your word is so clear that you loved us and you sent your son Jesus to die for us because you love us. And so, Lord, let us not withhold love from others. Let us operate primarily with love, Father God. Let us show the world what true love is. True love considers the weakest among us. True love doesn't forget, but it holds dearly to those around us. Father God, I pray as a congregation that we would continue to be built up in love and not puffed up because of our knowledge. I thank you, Father God, for the word that we have heard today. I thank you for your people. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.